Huh?
Julie.
Huh?
Guess what day it is.
Guess what day it is.
Guess what day it is.
Anybody?
Anybody?
Guess what day it is.
Guess what day it is.
Anybody?
Anybody?
Mike.
Huh?
What day is it, Mike?
Huh?
Woo-hoo! Mike.
Huh?
What day is it, Mike?
Huh?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
Leslie, guess what today is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Hump day!
Woo-hoo!
It's hump day.
Hump day!
Woo-hoo!
Uh-oh.
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Mike. What day is it, Mike?
It's hump day.
Hump day!
Woo-hoo! It's hump day.
Hump day!
Woo-hoo!
Happy Hump Day, San Rafael. You're listening to Penguin Radio, only at radio.dominican.edu. This is Good Day from the Bay, and I'm Harper Clementine. Welcome to my show. My dear old sis, Ruby Joe, is gone on a soccer trip, so it'll just be me and a special guest later. Just want you guys to know that even though Ruby Joe is not here to do the usual deeds and read off her usual stories, I will still be here. I will be giving you the news feeds, the entertainment sleaves, and some sports leads, even though that is Ruby Joe's specialty. So again, happy hump day. So good to be back. It's really weird being here in the station without my dear old pal. It's kind of like that fraternal twin thing, just a little separation anxiety, but nothing we can't get through together. Same old, starting out with news. There's quite an outburst, an outcry about Ebola, and me and Ruby Joe from last week to the week before and the week following that, we've been really good about, I think, covering what's going on exactly, but there was an article that really caught my eye last night about a memo being obtained from Fox News indicating that Obama administration has been considering allowing non-American Ebola patients into the U.S. for treatment. Though a State Department official on Tuesday denied any plans, the document was obtained by Fox News from a Capitol Hill source, who says in the memo it is prepared by the State Department. The top of the document is marked, quote, sensitive but classified, pre-decisional, end quote. The document goes on to discuss and advocate for devising such a plan. The memo recommends that, quote, state and DHS devise a system for expeditious parole of Ebola-infected non-citizens into the United States as long as they are otherwise eligible for medical evacuation from the Ebola-affected countries and for entry in the United States, end quote. Explaining that recommendation, the memo says that the U.S., for instance, has an obligation to help non-citizen employees of U.S. agencies and U.S.-based private firms. The U.S. is said to need to show more leadership and act as we are asking others to act by admitting certain non-citizens into the country for medical treatment for Ebola virus disease during this Ebola crisis. The first thing I thought when reading this was kind of, wow, government's almost making us act like we're in preschool. They want us to basically take care of everyone's mess, and although as humans, we should have a certain level of compassion. I just find it very interesting that we need to show leadership and act as if we're acting for certain non-citizens, and we need to help each other out. But if that was the case, I mean, if everybody really helped each other out and showed leadership, I think we'd have achieved world peace by now. I find it very weird and very odd, almost a little contradictive, that for such a thing that we're offering such aid. And Ebola is such a contagious and dangerous and scary thing that the fact the U.S. is even considered bringing that into our country, where we're trying to contain it one person at a time, it's mind-blowing to me. But anyway, that's for government to decide. As for me, you know where I stand on that, and speaking for Ruby Joe, I'm sure she'd be pretty upset. Moving on, though, just this last week, another high school shooting happened. This one hit me a little harder than most. I mean, not discrediting or being insensitive to the other ones that have happened, but this particular shooting happened where I was born and was partially raised, and it would have been the high school I attended had I'd stayed there. But reading this was just a huge shock, and this is something that blew up my personal newsfeed on Facebook, not just the little ads. The student who opened fire at a Washington State high school Friday left 3 dead, including himself. According to reports, the shooter led his victims to lunch by a text message, and investigators on Monday are looking into what exactly was said to lure in these victims. Snohomish County Sheriff Ty Trannery told the news conference that 5 students were all at a lunch table when they were shot by the 15-year-old Jalen Freiberg. Trannery also confirmed that the .40 caliber handgun used in the shooting had been legally purchased by one of the Freiberg's relatives. It remains unclear how Freiberg obtained such a weapon, and the sheriff says the investigators continue to comb through a massive amount of text messages, phone records, and social media posts as they search for an explanation for this shooting. He also may never find one, though. The sheriff disclosure came one day after the 14-year-old girl shot by Freiberg died, the third person to die in the shooting. Officials at Providence Regional Medical Center in Everett identified the victim as Gia Serrano, a freshman at Marysville Pilchuck High School, about 30 miles north of Seattle. The other victim was identified Monday as 14-year-old Zoe R. Galasso by the Snohomish County Medical Examiner's Office. Galasso lived in Marysville and was a student at the school. The Snohomish County Sheriff's Office issued a statement saying Galasso died of a gunshot wound to the head. The statement also said the medical examiner identified Freiberg, 15, saying he died of a handgun wound to the head as well, and ruled his death a suicide. Quote, "We are devastated by the senseless tragedy," end quote, Galasso's family said in a statement read at a news conference by Dr. Joanne Roberts. Quote, "The family says, Gia is our beautiful daughter and words cannot express how much we will miss her," end quote. Roberts said Gia's family was donating her organs for transplant. 3 other students victim to this gun shooting remain hospitalized, and on Sunday, parents and students gathered in the gymnasium at the school for a community meeting with speakers urging support, prayers, and tribal members playing drums and singing songs. Freiberg was a prominent Tulupa Indian, and his tribe was prominent in the community. Again, just this one hitting so close to home, it really took my breath away. It was really some sad news going on. There's not much positive news going on in the feeds lately. Kind of going back on this, from what I understood in various articles, this Jalen Freiberg, who's only 15 years old, he was on homecoming court just a couple weeks ago. On homecoming court, he was on the football team. He was kind of like your storybook Romeo, just that typical high school stud. And the least person, if you're going to stereotype, the last person you would stereotype to do such a heinous thing. Reports also say that Freiberg, what instigated this initially was that someone in a locker room had made some kind of racist remark to him, and he had gotten in a fight, and he had taken on this very dark persona. And just a week later, a girl he found very attractive, according to reports, it was Gia Serrano, found very attractive, denied dating him or just didn't like him or said something. Something went down between the two of them, and that provoked him to do such a horrible thing. And what I found most senseless was the fact that Freiberg killed 2 of his cousins. That just, there's no words to describe how bad that is. This was a devastating shooting, not only because it's another one. It's another shooting we have to worry about. It's another thing that we have to add to the list. And another conference we have to talk about guns and kids and gun safety. But it's just a tough one. It's really tough, and it's sad that he dragged his family into it. So prayers are with everyone who's lost their loved one, and prayers continue to go to Marysville Pilchuck High School. Moving on, ISIS has kind of, I haven't heard much about ISIS. It's all been about Ebola. ISIS is kind of back on the map, and they're recruiting teenage girls. It was reported just a couple weeks ago in our Penguin Press Pass that's held on Fridays that Jihad was reaching out to members here in America and various parts of the country to recruit their followers to kill military officials in their home. As disturbing as this is, it continues to get more disturbing. In the case of 3 teenage girls, They are reported to have tried to join the Islamic State militants group, and they pose vexing questions for U.S. officials about the terror group's use of social media to recruit people inside the United States. A Colorado school official said the Denver area girls were two sisters, ages 17, 15, and their 16-year-old friend, and they were victims of an online predator who encouraged them to travel overseas and eventually to Syria. Red flags right there, girls. Mia Bloom, a professor of security studies at the University of Massachusetts Lowell, said the girls' story so far suggests how Islamic extremists have mastered social media to prey on younger and younger women, like quote, Disney-like versions of what it is like to live under Muslim leadership, complete with promises of husbands and homes. The girls were detained at an airport in Frankfurt, Germany, and sent home over the weekend. They were interviewed by the FBI and returned to their parents in Denver suburb of Aurora. Those in the tight-knit Eastern African community say they live with their sisters and they are part of a Somali descent, and their friend is of a Sundanese descent. I found this article most alarming just because it's such a awful terrorist group is reaching out to the youth of our country. It's taking away our innocence, and I don't know where the heck these girls' parents are, but how the heck did they get from Colorado to Frankfurt, Germany without their parents having any slight suspicion that they're meeting some random guy? I mean, again, not going to say that these girls are dumb, but I don't think they're smart enough to go and make up some kind of elaborate lie as to why they need to go to Germany. I mean, parents, am I right? I mean, I'm only 20 years old, and I know very well that there is no way in HE double hockey sticks my parents would let me go with my friend and my sister randomly to Germany. It almost kind of brings up the whole other issue of just online security. Like, are parents monitoring their kids? Should they be monitoring their kids? I mean, I feel like parents should be monitoring their kids now. I mean, the fact that ISIS is reaching out to our youth, a youth that is so naive and so full of hope and good light and just not really understanding the true concept of pure evil out there. I mean, what I found most disgusting was these men are telling these girls who are still young and naive that they're going to have husbands and homes and money and it's going to be great and they'll never have to work. And although most girls may want to work and have a family and do things their way, there are girls still out there who want to do things just very plain Jane. Don't want to work, just want money, just want to take care of a husband, just kind of real simple. It gives me goosebumps. I mean, if you look at my arms right now, they're just covered in bumps. It's just so disturbing to me that that's okay. But that wraps up my news portion. And going into my dear old pal, Ruby Joe, her segment on health, I was quite excited to do this. No offense, Ruby, if you're listening, I was really excited to look up some health stories, kind of like get in there myself, see what's going on in the world of health. But this study I found quite interesting. It proves that the narcotic drug morphine is not the best choice for pain relief with kids with a broken bone. Kids in the study took either morphine or ibuprofen by the mouth, and the morphine was associated with side effects like drowsiness, nausea, and vomiting, but it wasn't any better than ibuprofen at relieving pain. The study involved 134 children between ages 5 and 17 who arrived at the emergency department with a broken bone of the arm or leg, and it did not require surgery. Half of the kids randomly assigned to receive oral morphine dosed at 0.5 milligrams per kilogram of the child's weight, while the others received 10 milligrams of ibuprofen every 6 hours as needed for 24 hours after hospital discharge with a cast or sling. The medicines were not marked or labeled, so the children and parents did not know which painkiller was being fed. Ibuprofen is safe and effective drug choice for managing bone fracture for pain for kids. The author is right. Ibuprofen is a safer choice for simple reasons. They have a lot of more experience with it, and children and healthcare workers and parents kind of already know what to expect when it's given. I think this is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant that people have come to this conclusion, because although, I mean, even ibuprofen's really harsh. I mean, you take too many and you have like a little ulcer in your tummy. I think it's brilliant. Why feed kids such an adult drug when they don't need it? I mean, broken bones are serious, but now according to health professionals, it's nothing ibuprofen can't fix. So parents, if you're listening and your child is going in for broken bones or a fracture and doesn't need surgery, make sure to ask your healthcare provider or the staff at the hospital Is it okay for my child to have ibuprofen? Guaranteed, they'll say yes, and they'll probably prefer it much more. And I'm sure it's a lot cheaper on the hospital bill. It's an over-the-counter. But parents, that's for you. Kids, I don't think you'll understand what I'm saying. Teenagers, it's a 50-50 shot. So take it as you want, do what you want, but that's what's going on in the world of health. Now, this is for all my people out there. This next story is for all my people out there who struggle with allergies. I don't know about you guys, but for me, come spring, I don't know what it is. They say it's the pollen in the air and yada, yada, yada. I don't know what it is, but my allergies literally last from March, April, May, June, July, and partially in August. And it is the most heinous time of year because it is a terrible feeling to not be able to breathe, have your eyes itch to the point where you feel like you're scratching your cornea, or just even like that congested, like you can't breathe. And then when you lay down, all of a sudden like snot wants to leak out your nose. It's not glamorous. And ladies, if you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever, you know, it doesn't make you feel real attractive. It's really hideous. And guys, it's not attractive when we see you like that either. So for the millions of allergy sufferers out there, symptoms aren't restricted to just one particular season like myself. The suffering can last for months, again, kind of like myself, and it's what's inside your home that may have an even bigger impact than outdoor allergies. That's right. It's not even the outdoor anymore. It's all about what's in the indoor. It's easy to forget about what's getting trapped inside your home. Pollen, dust, bacteria, and other allergy aggravating agents are easily tracked inside your home on shoes. I don't know why we didn't get this before. Pollen, dust, bacteria, and other allergy aggravating agents are tracked on your shoes and your coats and sometimes even your dearly beloved pet. An easy solution to cut down on what follows you inside is to simply take off your shoes when entering the home. Allergies can be more than just a pesky element to sufferers. People that suffer can be miserable. It can lead to sinus infections, nasal obstructions, can lead to snoring and sleep apnea, or even a chronic sinus infection. And trust me, if you haven't had any of those, that you do not want any of those. I myself has been a victim to one of each. And that's one of each you don't want. Especially a sinus infection. Those kill. Ugh, and it goes into your throat and you just... Oh, that's that. Talk about seeing no light at the end of the tunnel. It's a dark, dark day. You just want to lock yourself up. So homeowners, kids, parents, grandma, grandpa, aunts, uncles, Fido, the dog, make sure you are keeping track of your shoes. Make sure your shoes are left at the front door. Leave your big heavy coats at your front door. If Fido is a frequent regular on the outdoors, maybe consider keeping Fido outside. And if Fido is a little tiny dog who is a victim to a potential, I don't know, coyote, wolf, whatever, then make sure that you doggy wipe their paws or bacteria spray them. Just do something animal friendly though. But that'll prevent you lots of suffering for months to come, and it's not too late. The cold seasons, although they say are just as bad as spring season. The cold season, you have a little bit more immunity and you have a little bit more time to kind of to cut ends with all those sneaky little pesky ailments. So wrapping up my little health portion, I am Harper Clementine and you're listening to Good Day from the Bay, and this is radio.dominican.edu, and coming up, I got entertainment and I got some tech news for all of you. So stay tuned and I'll be right back.
Falling behind, nothing in this world could ever bring them down. Yeah, they're invincible, and she's just in the background. And she says, I wish that I could be like the cool kids, 'cause all the cool kids, they seem to fit in. I wish that I could be like the cool kids, like the cool kids.
Happy Hump Day, San Rafael. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. I'm Harper Clementine, and you're listening to Good Day from the Bay. We just wrapped up our little segment on news and health. If you guys missed the first portion of the show, I also revealed that my dear old partner and pal and my little fraternal twin, Ruby Joe, is gone. She's gone for school soccer tournament. So wishing luck to the women's soccer team. And men, if you're gone, wishing luck to you too. Just a real quick reminder for all of you Dominican students out there, tonight is Soul Candy. For those of you who are asking, what the heck is Soul Candy? Soul Candy is this super hip, super rad talent show. It's not like your typical just sing or do a little like dance routine. There are some really talented people here at Dominican, and they're going to be giving it their all to sing for you, dance for you, slam poetry, you name it. If it's somewhere in the title of the arts, they're doing it, and I highly recommend going. It's at 7 p.m. tonight in Angelico Hall. I guarantee you will not regret it. I know the World Series is on tonight. Believe me, I do know. It is Game 7, and it's a big freaking deal. However, you can stream that stuff on your phone. Why do we have smartphones? Oh, yo, so you can stream big games. Make sure to show an appearance, support your fellow student athletes and students and just people of the arts. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. I will be there. I will be around. You can say hello to me, but show your support. It'll be fun. Again, 7 p.m. tonight in Angelico, Soul Candy. You won't regret it. So covered up, basically a news kind of eerie and dreary and really sad. I don't really like reading the news because reading the news just kind of puts a damper in my day, if you know what I'm saying. So this next segment is always my favorite. Entertainment is the best. And to ring in my entertainment segment, I got some Fergie Ferg instrumental, her new song LA Love. Yeah, it's a great song. So my first story of the day is about Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Martin. What is going on? If you haven't heard already, well, it's no breaking news now that the actress and the musician have split. Yep, donezo. And it's presumable that the pair's jam-packed schedules also contributed to their breakup. Coldplay has a number of performances coming up, including an appearance at the BBC Music Awards, while Lawrence is about to embark upon a mega press tour for Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 1. I'm personally super excited for that. Anyway, the two have embarked on this mega press tour and gone their separate ways. Martin's brief relationship with Lawrence has marked the musician's first high-profile romance since he announced his separation from ex Gwyneth Paltrow after more than 10 years of marriage in March. The parents of two, who shared their news of their split in a statement posted on Gwyneth's lifestyle website titled, quote, "Conscious Uncoupling," end quote, have remained incredibly amicable and were even spotted grabbing dinner together in Brentwood. This story, I mean, it's not sad. Breakups are sad, but I didn't find this one to be too sad per se. Just because Chris Martin seems to be a man of amicable breakups. I mean, it's every girl's dream to have a breakup where you're still friends with the ex and you have no hard feelings, they have no hard feelings. I feel like that's everybody's dream come true in the world of dating. I also really love Jennifer Lawrence. I think she's a lady of much class. And just because you date someone doesn't mean you gotta marry them. Dating's fun. Dating's meant to be a fun, light thing. And so I'm just really happy that Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Martin have done their thing and had their time together. But, I mean, things end for a reason, and I'm glad that for the sake of the kids, Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow are still good. I love Gwyneth Paltrow very, very much. So I think it was a very wise decision, especially with their careers. You got to put your career first. Can't put your career on hold for a man, ladies. You cannot do it. Your kids is one thing. A man is another. So that's going on with Chris Martin and Jennifer Lawrence. People are alleging that there's cheating and there is this and it's nasty and it's gross. But I'm glad that Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Martin have made it a point to make sure that the media knows that this was amicable. It was on good terms. There's no bad blood. They were to see each other, things would be good. I think that's really important in the world of Hollywood and gossip. Moving on into something a little bit more sad. I know I'm trying to stay away from the sad stories, but they always find their way to just stick themselves on me, and I'm just stuck. Melissa Rivers is seeking answers, and not just answers, damages. A rep for Joan Rivers' daughter confirms to E! News that she is planning to file a multi-million dollar wrongful death lawsuit against the New York Endoscopy Clinic where her mother suffered cardiac arrest. This was just kind of a routine thing. For those of you who don't know what happened, Joan Rivers just unexpectedly died. She suffered from cardiac arrest, as well as all the other doctors involved performing this procedure were in question. Gower, Gower, Gonson, Stegman, Makoff, Bloom, and Ruben Witz, a law office hired by Melissa, also confirmed its involvement with Joan Rivers' daughter. Partner Ben Rubinitz said in a statement, "In order to fully determine all of the facts and circumstances surrounding the death of Joan Rivers, we confirm that our firm has been engaged by Melissa Rivers and her family." The New York City Office of Chief Medical Examiner attributed Joan's death on September 4th at the age of 81 to, quote, therapeutic complication, end quote. The exact cause being anoxic encephalopathy during a hypoxic arrest during a laryngoscopy and upper gastrointestinal endoscopy with a propofol sedation for evaluation of voice changes and gastrophagal reflux disease. Woof, big words. Melissa's lawyers will first need to obtain her medical records before proceeding for the filing of their complaint. I know this isn't funny, but holy cow, I hope they know how to spell all of those words. I have never seen laryngoscopy and gastrointestinal. I think it's a little better if you like slow down and read it, but woof, those are some big ones. I hope they don't mess that up on the lawsuit. That would be bad. Stating one thing that really didn't happen and then they lose. But thoughts are with Melissa Rivers. Obviously, even though Joan did die at a good age and she had a good life and a good career and it was probably the least painful way to go, I would still, if I were her, if anything happened to my mom like that unexpectedly, I would be absolutely devastated and I would seek answers too if it was not truly meant to be. I think us as humans, we define what's meant to be as something that happens, and I feel like Melissa Rivers is probably playing that what if game, the what if I would have told my mom not to do it, or what if I would have been there for my mom, or what if I would have scheduled the appointment for a different day. I think it would have been a different story. So I feel really bad for Melissa Rivers. Hopefully she seeks the answers that she needs. If not, I mean, it's not too late. So gonna go to a quick little intermission and little commercial break, so stay tuned and I will wrap up the rest of entertainment and finish off some tech news. I'm Harper Clementine and you're listening to Good Day from the Bay only on radio.dominican.edu.
Have you ever wondered if the sign it and drive it car
Happy Hump Day, San Rafael. This is Harper Clementine, and you're listening to Good Day from the Bay, only on radio.dominican.edu. So I promised earlier I would have a special guest in the studio with me, and little do you know, it is my old teammate, Irina. Hello, Irina.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am quite good. It's just a slow day. I mean, it's hump day.
Hump day.
Can't really expect to go any faster. I mean, earlier, we play every Wednesday, me and Ruby usually play the hump day song, where it's like, hump day, guess what day it is. I've gotten really good at it because we listen to it so frequently.
I bet you do.
But anyway, so we took a little half 50-50 break in between the entertainment segment, and I have my dear old pal Irina here with me to just kind of walk through the rest of what's going on. So for all of you who are just dying to know, I have figured out the $1 million question. It is answered. I have it ready. And Irina, are you ready?
Can't wait. Oh, no, I can't wait.
Okay.
Please, come on.
When it comes to young Hollywood stars, we all know that some have been able to handle the fame a whole lot better than others. Mm-hmm. Amanda Bynes, Lindsay Lohan, not being any of them. Nobody knows that better than Daniel Radcliffe and his Harry Potter co-stars. But more than 13 years after the first Hogwarts film hit theaters, many of the cast continued to thrive in Hollywood. I would attribute it to my parents and also the crew of the Potter films, who were very good at treating us like kids rather than as actors, as they should have done. Radcliffe shared this during his Ask Me Anything session on Reddit. It's hard to say anything when it comes down to. I think also when you grow up in the media, you get a very clear sense of how crazy the media it is. One memory that Radcliffe can't seem to forget is a special milestone in Emma Watson's life. The countdown that Emma's birthday was when she was turning 18 or 17 or whatnot. It was insane. Absolutely insane, he said. And I get you think that maybe there's some perspective and that we're all very young, but you do get an extra level of awareness maybe. He went on to share that the worst part of being a child actor was being perceived as a bratty and obnoxious kid, while the best part was obviously being mistaken for Elijah Wood. I could see it.
Yeah,
he looks like Elijah Wood, but
definitely.
I mean, what is your opinion? Do you think Daniel Radcliffe, because I mean, I remember that was that one controversy, and I say in air quotes controversy, where he had his nudie pic in front of a white horse.
No, that really, compared to all these girls, and I'm not sure about being boys, but all these girls that are Vanessa Hudgens, for example,
mm-hmm.
Miley Cyrus,
mm-hmm.
Lindsay Lohan,
mm-hmm.
and on and on and on. I mean, that's right there that you should be talking about, not someone just kind of just standing there with shirtless.
But it's like, should you, this is what also I strike up in the question, should we be giving attention to the ones who are doing bad things, or should we be giving attention to people who do like risque things but are good people? Because I feel like when you fuel the bad, you obviously are, it's like with a kid.
Mm-hmm.
If you feed in and give attention to a child who's being bad, they're going to think it's okay because they know that's in their head the way that they think they can get attention from their parent.
Right.
Like, I mean, I think Daniel Radcliffe, if anything, is too under the radar. I feel like we should be obsessing over him and Emma Watson and not really over Amanda Bynes going to rehab or whatever it is she's doing nowadays.
That's what I was trying to say is that, like, those girls or those people who are just trying to be so up in the media and just trying to get any attention possible, those are the ones that should be less noticed.
Yeah.
Rather than people who actually, you know, trying to do good things and not be the negative example for the upcoming generation, but actually something positive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's definitely something that we should bring up and pay more attention to. Definitely.
I agree. So props to the Harry Potter cast, I guess.
I mean, like I said,
$1 million question has been answered. Praise Jesus, praise the ground, praise the trees.
Jesus, hallelujah.
Praise whoever you praise because I got it. So moving on into something a little scary, I keep saying I don't want scary news. I mean, this is not scary compared to like Ebola or anything, but it is definitely up there on like frightening. Taco Bell's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages have all gone dark. with the exception of one message available for users to see.
Uh-oh.
I was a little scared. I'm like, oh, shoot, they're going
what
dark.
What happened?
Taco Bell's online ordering app is launching today, and this social media blackout is part of its promotion to drive people that will probably be a life-changing feature of technology. If you download the app and you play your cards right, you may be able to get your Taco Bell food without speaking to a single human. And that's a dream, right?
Dream, okay.
Like you order Taco Bell on your phone, and it's delivered.
Isn't that, can I get a hallelujah again?
Yeah, you're telling me. Taco Bell representative said that they wanted to make sure that the message broke through. There are thousands of apps that launch every day. Again, they are a brand of first, and they would like to do things that people have never done before. Even Taco Bell's website went dark, which means if you had to look up calories for a Nacho Bell Grande, you're out of luck. Also, why are we even doing this? You know the number that you don't want to see. Just eat the delicious food and live your life. You can download Taco Bell's mobile ordering and payment app for free from Apple's App Store or from Google Play.
Yeah, I don't want to see no calories, that's for sure.
If it's just, you know it's bad.
Exactly. So like, just you eat know, it. Just, what's the point?
Like, it's safe to say it's over 300 calories unless it's water.
Just, like, just eat it. You know it's bad. You know it's fat. Just eat it, period.
Yeah, because you know what you're doing.
Exactly.
That's like saying, oh my gosh, I'm going to jump off the bridge, but should I measure how high the bridge
okay,
is? Like,
no, that's not
is
it.
Is it going to matter? You're jumping off a bridge.
You're going to die anyways.
Stupid idiots. I'm one of those stupid idiots, so I do. I like add my math gets real good when it comes to calories. I'm like a mathematician. It's great. Like, I can't do like long division or like
no,
the numerical polynomials, but you tell me to count calories and baby, it's in my head ready to go.
I love it.
That's how it is.
But sometimes you just gotta let it go.
Sometimes you gotta let it go. But this was a great transition. I didn't really know how to classify this particular story. Entertainment? Is it tech? I'm like, it's a
kind
little
of
bit
of in between.
It's a tweener. So yeah. I figured it would segue us into my next segment of technology.
Oh, love that one.
Yeah, it's like robots. So some large U.S. retailers are refusing to use Apple's new electronic payment system. They have committed to developing a rival payment system, which will bolster their profits by eliminating credit card transaction fees for good. Walmart Stores Incorporated is among a roughly 50 big retailers that have chosen not to accept Apple Pay. Along with Rite Aid and Health Corp and CVS, they say that they are working instead on developing their own payment system called Currency. Through the merchant's customer exchange, Constorm, the driving force behind developing a retail-owned mobile payment solution is to avoid paying credit card transaction fees to card companies like Visa and MasterCard, analysts say. Fees range between 2% to 3% of cost per transaction. Apple did not immediately respond to queries seeking comment, and MasterCard criticized the move by CVS and Rite Aid, saying it would limit the options of consumers. Apple Pay unveiled just last month, and it is a mobile payment app that allows consumers to buy things by simply holding their iPhone 6 and 6 Plus device up to a readers installed by store merchants, and the retailers have now shunned Apple Pay and refused to use mobile payment systems like Google Wallet or SoftCard.
Well, okay.
I see the thing that I mean, when Apple Pay first came out, I made sure to put it in my little tech segment, and I don't like Apple Pay. Me and Ruby Joe made it very clear we do not like Apple Pay because we think that's another way for people to steal your credit cards.
I agree.
Steal your money. And then what?
It's just
then what?
It's too open. It's way out there.
Well, if people can hack in your computers and steal your nudie pictures, what makes you think they can't steal your credit card number?
Yes.
Like, I feel like people defend nude pictures and their credit cards about the same amount. They put the same amount of security on that,
that
kind of
totally
stuff.
That is totally true.
So I'm not a fan. I feel like anything can get hacked into. I feel like it takes a really skilled genius to break into your house, look under your mattress,
yeah,
and grab your money.
Let's keep it in the pocket.
Let's just keep it black and white, old-fashioned. Well,
exactly.
I don't see the need for all this techie stuff.
Old school. We don't need to be doing all that
extra
stuff.
If they get rid of like the use of credit cards, like if credit cards are no longer accepted, I'm going all cash.
Right.
Also hard. You know what I mean? Yeah, no. I just feel like it's a lot safer, but Apple Pay, Google Wallet, SoftCard, they're all getting shunned. I think it's so funny that they're shunning all of these companies because of whatever, and they're creating their own.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you already have an idea. You basically just might as well just use that.
They're just adding on to nonsense.
No. It's more.
It's like pouring water in an overflowing bucket.
Tell them.
Like,
tell them how you really feel, Frank.
I am. I'm really upset. And if you saw my face, you'd see how upset I am.
I know you're upset. I know you're upset.
My like head hurts. My eyebrows are getting all funny. Like, it just hurts.
Like, you start sweating and stuff. Like, I know. You just get angry. Get, and you, oh, go, and you, start, oh, you talk
teeth,
like this with
your teeth,
get
stuck
down,
together. Yep. Yeah. I hate that feeling. So that's what's going on. Apple Pay has kind of been rejected. Google Wallet rejected.
As
soft card rejected. And then there's this stupid...
Let's keep our credit cards and our wallets.
There's the new currency. So watch out for currency. If you're a fan of Apple, you can boycott it. If you're not, don't. It's up to you. But next story. This one's still a little freaky. And it freaked me out because I personally have this app.
Uh-oh.
My parents used this on me and I had no idea I was in a trap.
Oh,
you may be asking, what the heck? It is totally possible to pinpoint your location with nothing more than a cell phone number.
Tell me about that.
Cell phone number. All they need is your cell phone number. I could track you down.
Wow.
But get this. Your smartphones always know where you are. And thanks to Life360.com, which is an app that I have because my parents wanted to know where I was. Now I know they were stalking me.
Okay, you're legal now. Delete that app.
Yeah, seriously. Powered by technology from a company called Locade. A parent can locate a child by her phone number or even an elderly parent who has wandered away from home. That sounds ideal, right?
Right.
But it's every teenage girl and boy's nightmare. Indeed, network location services can save lives, protect children, and enable business services, and they're available to anyone. You can just type in a cell phone number on locade.com
and boom,
of anyone in the U.S. and find their precise location in just a few seconds. Not minutes, seconds. Agreements with wireless carriers like T-Mobile and Sprint let Locade triangulate positions using cell towers and the GPS signal on your phone. In urban areas, the results are more precise than rural areas, where they have fewer cell towers. Locade adds security measures to keep this site, I'm air quoting, safe. You have to type in your own birthday to prevent minors from using the service, and the person you are trying to locate must agree to the location service by replying to a text message. Okay, I'm going to think of it from this point of view. If you're trying to keep minors off of this, how many times when you were a minor did you pretend you were older than you were?
Exactly.
It is not that hard. It does not take a dog to figure that out.
No.
And then when it comes to confirming text messages because the other person's agreeing to it, what if you're a 20-year-old college student with overbearing parents and you come home for Thanksgiving and your mom steals your phone and accepts the text message?
How great is that?
Why I'm saying this?
And because
my
happened,
mom would do that.
Because it happened to me. It happened to my friend as well. Mm-hmm. Actually, her little brother, was a nightmare.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
And I know if I would have been a 14-year-old girl or boy, I would be one of those kids who would be saying, "You're ruining my life."
I said that to my mom once because I saw Freaky Friday. I love Freaky Friday.
Yes.
And I thought I was being an actress.
You're ruining my life.
I thought I was being an actress, and I like yelled at my mom because she actually did make me very upset. And I like said, "You're ruining my life." And my mom just stared at me. And she's like, "Go to your room." I'm like, "Already going." Sort of marching.
I already
up.
Know.
Yeah, I already knew the drill. But that wraps up my technology. It was a little freaky. I don't know. I get really easily irked by the idea of people being able to pinpoint me because there are stalkers out there.
There's
stalkers.
Yeah.
There's stalkers. And with this whole ISIS thing, I was saying earlier in my news articles that ISIS has been recruiting not just people in the U.S., but females, young females,
mm-hmm.
through Facebook and Twitter, telling them, "You need to come here to visit,
yeah,
come here
come
visit."
Right,
and
now, they're
everything. Promising them these Disney-like dreams that there's money and there's husbands and there's house, these big luxurious
Show
houses
Show me on
waiting.
The paper. Where's the proof?
Well, these 16-year-old girls don't need paper. Exactly. They think it's because it's on Twitter. It's real. So that wraps up that. Gonna take a tiny little like commercial little freaky weird little DJ turn up break, yeah, whatever you want to call it. Take a little break and we're gonna go into sports for
Love
all
it.
You sports fanatics. I know this is Ruby Joe's segment and I'm gonna do my best not to butcher sports, and then we'll wrap it up with some couponing with Being Broke Ain't a Joke. I'm Harper Clementine and Irina, that's you.
And Irina, that's
and
me.
We have Irina. And you're listening to Good Day from the Bay. This is on radio.dominican.edu.
Yeah.
Okay.
As you send the call out, 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 send the call. Tell.
We live in cities you'll never see on screen. Not very pretty, but we sure know how to run things. Living in ruins of a palace within my dreams. And you know, we're on each other's team. I'm kinda over getting told to throw my hands up in the air. So there.
Happy Hump Day, San Rafael. You're listening to A Good Day from the Bay. I'm Harper Clementine.
This is Irina.
And this is only on radio.dominican.edu. So if you guys didn't catch us before the break, we said we were going to give a little insight into the sports. And if you follow the show regularly, you know sports is not my area of expertise. You know that my dear old fraternal sis, Ruby Joe, does all the sports, and she's very good at it. We miss Ruby. But I'm going to do my best to just kind of get short and sweet and to the point. And for all of you sports fanatics, you can just put the pieces together yourself, wherever you're listening. So as we all know, we are in the World Series for baseball.
Go Giants.
Huge deal. Ruby Joe, she would say go Giants. So that one was for her. Yeah. It's a big deal. Game 7 is tonight, and they are tied. The Kansas City Royals and San Francisco Giants are tied 3-3 in the World Series. The last time this happened was back when Kansas City was in the World Series, God knows when. I mean, probably like, I'm going to say, take an educated guess and say 10 years ago?
Sure.
10 or so years ago. And when they were also in the World Series, they were tied up like this and ended up winning the series. And this was the last time that they had won the World Series. So If fate works its way, Kansas City Royals could be our new World Series champions.
Hey, hey, hey.
It's weird. It's
hey.
I'm not a fan of either. I'm not, and when people give me crap for that, like, oh, you live in the Bay and you don't like the Giants, I'm like, well, at least I'm not a bandwagoner. Like, wouldn't you be much more angry if I was just bandwagoning? Like,
all right.
You're from the Bay. Wouldn't you be like, it would be like, oh, shut up. Like, you don't even know anything. Like,
okay.
So I stick to my roots. Mariners, Dodgers, done.
Done.
That is it. So game 7 is tonight. Make sure you check it out. I heard that there's going to be a raucous roar at Kauffman Stadium tonight. It's
going to
just...
The city is going to be crazy.
Yeah, and after last night's loss, 10-0. Kansas City Royals won 10-0.
Last time I checked...
They got spanked.
It was 7-0, and I was like, ooh.
You're like, this stinks. Ooh, like, I don't know much about baseball, but my brother plays, and I know there's a mercy rule after 10.
That's it.
It's like 10 after 7 or something like that. I was just like, ugh. But, and more of just news, sports news. There was a moment of silence held before last night's game of Tavares, the 22-year-old killed in an automobile accident Sunday in the Dominican Republic. Ventura, a teammate on the Giants, was a fellow Dominican who knew him well and wrote RIPOT #18 in silver marker on the left side of his cap. So I'm assuming that these games will be played in his honor.
So
maybe today will be the start of a better dedication game, because that was kind of a crappy game to dedicate to someone. So tune in. It'll be big. Ruby Joe will be here to report on it next week.
But go Giants, though.
But go Giants, according to Irina. And for Ruby Joe's sake, go Giants. Stay tuned for next week, though, because I'm telling you, I don't know this stuff. I don't know it well, and I know you don't want to hear it, because I don't even really want to hear it. So
just don't you know, say if you don't say it, just don't. If you don't know, just don't say it.
Exactly. I don't know. I don't say it. I don't want to sound like an idiot. So I'm going to go into my favorite segment of the whole entire show. It's right up there next to entertainment. Couponing in college.
Don't you love that?
Being broke is not a joke, ladies and gentlemen. I am telling you this.
It's a struggle.
The struggle is real. Yeah, it's
so real.
Yeah, it's really real. So I got some tips on how to coupon or save money in college. And most of these are pretty duh. Like, you would literally, you're probably going to say duh. Like, what are you talking about? Of course. The first tip I have for saving money while you're in college is keep your bank closed and your bank fees closer.
I like that one.
So if you're a little confused on what that means, it means don't just go opening your bank, like all these new bank accounts. Don't go and trying to get a bunch of money out and withdraw all this money. Just leave your money in your account.
Just keep it there.
Pretend it's closed.
It's not even there.
Yeah, it doesn't exist.
That's
it was like last week.
Think about it.
Last week's tip was just because you can ball out doesn't mean you can ball on a budget. That was my tip from last week. The next one is flash your badge. I never really thought about this as a college student, but your student ID
10% discount
gets you discounts at a
Warren
lot of places.
County, on the 4th Street, anywhere you go. It's I have 10% discount.
Exactly, 10% discounts. I mean, Disneyland, you get like $5 off. Not like it matters because they're like $1 million for a ticket anyway.
It still matters.
It's still nice to know that if you need to, you have your little good old buddy to remind you why you're in school.
Exactly.
That's part of the, I mean, it's like, even though we pay more to go here, it's like at least we get some kind of return.
You get something back.
Exactly. So flash your badge, keep your bank closed and your bank fees closer, and then expect your expenses. So,
know you will spend.
Yeah, just know what you're going to spend. Know your limits. Don't be like, oh, I really want to buy that new dress, but I only have $40, so I'm going to spare up some change and then drain my bank account.
Stupid.
Or overdraw your bank account. Like, just don't do that. Like,
makes no sense.
Overdrawing your bank account, I've done it a couple times, but I didn't do it on purpose. It was because of stupid groceries. It wasn't even over something cool.
Oh.
It was over, like, milk.
That's boring.
I'm like, shoot. No, don't overdraw because there's a fee and then you have to pay more money. And how annoying is that? More, and then credit cards. Be careful of the credit cards. That's going to be
That's why cash is the best. Just go with cash. Period.
It's always there. Okay, the next one. So we got expect your expenses, flash your badge, and keep your bank close and your bank fees closer. The fourth one is the $10 trick. So it's kind of like what you said. Keep $10 of cash on you and just budget that way. Say, I'm not going to spend this $10 unless it's an emergency.
Yep.
It's smart. Cold, hard cash. It's right in front of you. Just right there. The next one is say no to credit cards. Just because you can swipe doesn't
you
mean
get
it's
so
yours.
Used to it.
It doesn't mean it's just yours again, because you got to pay it off eventually.
That's true.
Nothing is free.
Nothing.
Remember
Cycle.
That. And the last one is discuss going Dutch. We all have that one friend who never has cash, and dealing with a bill can be awkward. So when you decide to go out, make sure you can afford it. But more importantly, make sure your friends can too. Don't believe them when they say, oh, like I'll cover you, I'll pay you back. You know your roommate has good intentions. Reality is, though, they'll either forget or you will. And if you don't, it'll cause a weird you owe me money situation, and you don't want to be on either side of that.
It becomes awkward.
Exactly. So those were my tips on how to save money in college. You're a college student at the end of the day, or you're just someone who's listening for tips.
You're broke, okay? You're college student.
Yeah, being broke ain't a joke, but you broke, and it is a joke.
Struggle is real.
Struggle is real. So hopefully those tips will help. Keep them in mind. If you would say WWHD, what would Harper do? Just remember those. But for that about sums it all up. Irina, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
It was so great. I was getting a little lonely. I hate being in the studio by myself. I miss Ruby, but you filled that void for me today.
She'll be back soon.
She will be back. Make sure to tune in next week, Wednesday, 2 to 3, and Ruby Joe will be back here to celebrate with us, and we can just talk about how much we missed her and we love her and all that cute, fuzzy rainbow stuff.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we are off. I am Harper Clementine, and you listen to Good Day from the Bay only on radio.dominican.edu.
You think about your bills, your ex, your deadlines, or when you think you're gonna die, or did you lie?